Yeah, let me just begin quick. Just remind everybody, tomorrow we have, what did we say the time's right? 10:45. And then afterwards, lunch from like 12 to, when do we have to be out? What?
12:40.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so let me just finish up a couple of quick points. And then let's talk about Mipirkei Avot and Mipiatzmo. Yesterday I was trying to explain that Eidos is not merely about gathering facts, but Eidos and Eidim have a special role to play. This really explains a lot. Again, just to make clear based on people's questions, we went through quite a number of different phenomena, which I think, according to a certain understanding of these phenomena, you point to this unified idea. Just to make clear again, of course, as we were discussing them, we noted that each individual example, or many of the individual examples, also can be explained in a very different way. Whether it's a Chofetz Haggadah, which we've been pursuing, and which we've seen that there are other perspectives about it, whether it's Davar Lo Chatzi Davar, or the Psulim of Korba and Russia, or the Cheskas Kashrus in the other direction, you know, even the question of Hasra and the other Edom or Shomu Lahamiso. If you look at all at each one of these independently, and you gather together all the different views of the Mefarshim about them, it's clear that not all of the interpretations support or reinforce the idea, and where you draw the line is an important question. Whether it's the obligation to become an aide as opposed to what happens once you are an aide, whether it's what happens already in the context of Kabbalah Seidus, talk about the issues of Hazama and Hakasha and Hakasha Tchilas Hazama, what's common and what's different about them. So just make it clear, each of these are massive topics. I was just bringing them together to show that from a certain point of view, these are all areas, these are all promising areas, according to some perspectives, in some case, the compelling dominant perspective, in other cases, a 50% view, or in some cases, maybe a minority view. But in all the cases, the common unified idea was the idea that Eidos is an important dimension in the system, not just because pragmatically we have no choice but to trust people and to therefore rely on what they tell us, but because Torah really invests like a tremendous stature in Eidim and in Chetzah Shel Eidus, almost as facts. That comes with higher standards, sometimes even draconian higher standards. And at the same time, that you can call those the chumras, and it also comes with tremendous kulos. Of course, what you call a chumra, what you call a kula, depends on which side of the Eidus you happen to be. But you understand the basic idea. And it's not, again, at all unusual that kulas and chumras, will coexist when the halacha is projecting something, to be more than its pragmatic self. If it's its pragmatic self, then usually we would expect to be in a fixed, point, in a line or in a graph. But if the whole point is that we're giving it, legal, formal status, so the idea that, that's going to upgrade it in some cases or raise it, beyond, what seems obvious, and in other cases is going to limit it tremendously so that it can be consistent with the highest, you can justify the upgrading only by compensating to begin with from the high standards, that's a phenomenon which we're very familiar with and which would even be something that we would anticipate in this kind of analysis. So I don't want to go through it again, but all the things that we discussed yesterday are examples of that. But of course, each one, there may be maybe not the Rambam about number 4, and maybe not the Ritva about number 7. I'm just making that up. But you get the idea. And certainly Mipia Tovea, which is how we started all of this, is a great example, because according to some Rishonim, Mipia Tovea is a much more general idea. It's a Bava Kamma idea. It's a classic Lo Samar Al Dam Re'acha idea, right? What we've tried to show is that even people who, you know, give weight to the Bava Kamma angle or to the Lo Samar angle may think it's much more than that. But certainly there are individual perushim which limit it to that, in which case it's not, you know, germane to what I was trying to portray. But there's enough cumulative evidence and enough cases which I think demonstrate that this is truly a perspective in the halacha and possibly one which explains a lot of phenomena. Okay, just to clarify that point. So just to make one other aspect of this very clear, we're talking about the relationship between, you know, Edom and Dayanim, Edom and Baledinim. We'll see it later on when we talk about Ogevedavar a little more. But the Rimigash also raises in Bombasra the question of, you know, whether we should be worried that people's, like, interest, for example, would have, like, a perception impact, you know, on them. In other words, if you are, let's say, a Nogebedavar in some way, you know, would that, aside from being a chashash sheker, let's say, or having a formal adverse impact, we'll talk about it more. Is there like another question, and that is like, you know, that if somebody has a negius of some sort, or in the Tia, one way or another, that can, you know, affect his, you know, perception. It's a little bit like, you know, combining the bididami, you know, concern of the nasivas, you know, with, you know, with a broader, you know, eidos idea. Now, certainly in dayanus, right, there is such a chashash, you know, that a dayan, you know, who has already a natia in a certain case, that he, you know, does that same issue apply to Edom or not? So the Rimigash in Balmasra, where he talks about, Mem Gimel in base, when he talks about the problem of Kidlasa Vesofa Bekashrus, basically weighs that possibility, considers just like this, and the paradigm is Dayan. Just like a Dayan, you know, can in some cases, you know, be influenced in his judgment, let's say, by a Natiya, not, again, Chashash Shekem, right? But Natiya, which kind of corrupts his pure objectivity, his you know, dispassionate assessment. Right, so too, maybe such a thing is possible by him. In the end, the Rimigash rejects it because he says, I think very compellingly, that you know, Dayanus is really about making a very difficult judgment call. It's about, you know, it's a legal analysis, and then it's applying the legal analysis, you know, possibly to a new or complicated, you know, circumstance. There also may be, this is where, again, Din Meruma type issues come in. I don't mean specifically Din Meruma, but there's also a question of, you know, assessing, you know, the honesty of the, and what's going on in this case. There's a lot of human, you know, intuition aspect. So to say about a Dayan, right, that there can be circumstances in which we don't suspect him of any kind of foul play, any kind of conscious bias, but that there'll be cases which would be inappropriate, you know, to trust his subtle judgment, his, you know, pure dispassion, that's one thing. But in the case of Eidos, typically, an Eid doesn't come to court, you know, and pontificate. You know, he doesn't, discuss his perceptions. The whole point is, and that's what Drisha V'Chakira and all these things are about, is that he relates facts. So while it is undeniably true, and this is like a big issue bizmanenu, you know, the neurologists, you know, are or neuroscience is very big on this right now, you know, this idea of bididami, like, you know, how accurate are people in their memories? Like, memory has been demonstrated, you know, not to be a videotape, right? The way that, that memory is stored in the mind is through association, and you know, where it is, you know, and how it, you know, works in terms of interaction of you know, different signals and so on. So it's a very remarkable process. It's one, you know, which is worthy of Marabu Masecha Hashem. But it's, most people think it's not a video. It's not like, oh, you can recall or you can call. Maybe somebody who has photographic memory can do that. But, you know, you just play it back, you know, in your mind. So there's a lot written right now about, you know, how accurate, you know, people can be and how much we can rely upon them, especially in the cases of trauma, you know, and cases of that sort. But having said that, and there certainly is that aspect of it, and that's probably the dummy where it comes from a little bit in Eid Echad. But having said that, in the end of the day, most Eidim are supposed to tell us Ora Oyada, right? What they actually saw. So with all of the imperfection, and there's no, you know, infallibility in all of that, but you know, Maisim Shebechol Yom, we rely on people's, you know, we assume that the world and things that we see, the world of perception is real. That's the old, you know, debate about that. But, you know, most of us who live in the real world, you know, take at least pragmatically that view. And we also rely, all things being equal, on people's perceptions, even though we know they're not infallible. So basically, Rimi Gash doesn't say this such length. He just has one line where he weighs the possibility that Eidim, without, you know, the neurological discussion, you know, can be the, what they physically see, even if they're honest, can be shaped, you know, by their perspective. And then he's dochet, and he says, no, you can't assume that just because it, you know, it applies to a dayan, that it also applies to an aid, because again, the dayan is making judgments, and you know, of all sorts of complicated, you know, types. So that's again another interesting. All these interfaith, all these comparisons between dayan and aid are part of this larger story. Misha says in Nida that whoever is pasul eidos is pasul dayanus, right? It's a kol shekein. That's an important Misha. So again, you can understand that very, very easily, and in very pragmatic ways. You know, we're talking about, let's say, Krovim and Psulim, you know, so we're even going to be even more machbid, for the reasons I just mentioned, on the stature of Dayanim than the stature of Eidim, because in the end of the day, with all the perception and neurological issues, right, the Eidim need to just tell us what they really honestly think they know or they saw. And Dayanim have to do, you know, so much more than that. Moreover, the Eidim are part of the process, and the Dayanim are making the decision. Moreover, the Dayanim are professionals, and therefore the, you know, they're Elohim. You know, the Eidim are not that. But again, the whole idea that, you know, Dayanim and Eidim share psulim is a very suggestive kind of thing. You could just dismiss it and say, yeah, because there's a common denominator despite the differences. Another way to look at it is, just like Dayanim is, you know, play an outsized role, and, you know, they play, you know, their role is not merely, they're not just, you know, people who technically implement and execute. You know, they're not, you know, computers, you know, that receive input data, you know, and spit out result. We think that Dayanim are Elohim. They're smuchim. We think that they are special people, and you know, we trust in their wisdom. Again, all the Din Maruma issues, you know, are based on it, of course, as well. So too, you know, the idea that Eidim have, you know, a similar stat, notwithstanding the differences, there are also differences. I mean, Tosas in a bunch of places, including Tosas in Bava Kamma. Also, Tosas here in Shavuos discusses this problem on Chavtes and Beis, discusses the question of you know, of Nashim. So the question is, you know, are women excluded from Dayanus? Most Rishonim, most Bali Tosas think that they are, and you know, there's the Devora question. So some of the Balaitosis here and there say, well, you know, you have to say that women are excluded from Dayanus, you know, because we have this Mishnah Nida that says Kalakosher Lahoid, you know, Kalakosher Lahoid, or Kalapasal Lahoid is Pasal Adin. So it's impossible, you know, since we know, Sugi here in Shuas Aflamin of Aleph, that women are excluded from Eidos, from Dishnah and Asha Bedin, so it's impossible they could be Dayanim. And then the minority view in Balaitosis that disagree say that, you know, oh, no, that Mishnah is only talking about Ba'anoshim and not Benashim. So what does that mean? It's not Xeris HaKasim. So what they really mean to say is that, you know, people who are, you know, even though we equate and we're overlapping, right, the qualifications and the credentials of Edom and Dayanim, there really are two separate dinim. And the question is, how much of a hafka is a particular psul from Eidos? And what Tosas, this is how all the Achronim explain about it, Tosas, what they mean to say is, but if you have somebody who's in the parsha, let's say, of Eidos, and then he's excluded from Eidos, so then he's certainly excluded from Dayanus. But if somebody is, you know, completely mufka mi parshas Eidos, but for totally different reason, we'll discuss that when we get back to the Psul Nashim Eidos, maybe that hafka, you know, is something very unique to Eidos. It doesn't therefore spill over into Dayanus. I'm just trying to show that whether it's the Rimigash's discussion or Tosas's discussion, you have on the one hand the overlap, and on the other hand, you know, some distinctions. So in light of that, I just want to make two other comments. That is regarding Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sajigon. So there are two interesting pieces there. One is the fact that Rav Sajigon seems to count in his Parshios Chakira Sa'edim, and Yochanan Fishel Perlo was very bothered by it because he also has Drisha V'Chakira as a separate mitzvah. So Mikomakom Mabuar, he says, Ain Kavanas Rabbeinu Agon Kan Limnos Mitzvah Sa'ed De Drisha V'Chakira Sa'edim Kivin Shekvar Menah B'Minyan Ha'esed. This is in the Parshios. Like the Bahag, Rav Sajigon has Parshios in his minyan Taryad. He has Essen, he has Lavin, and he has Parshios. So one of the Parshios, Miata Imkein Tzorach Mir, Mashakasa, he wrote, V'yachkeru Heitev. So if V'yachkeru Heitev is a Parsha, what is that Parsha separate from the mitzvah of Drisha V'chakira? Like the Rambam, right, in the beginning of the Chosedos, Perek Aleph Al-Hagadah, we contrasted the language that he uses. The first thing he says is the Chobos Haggadah, and then he has the mitzvah of Drisha V'chakira. So Rav Sajigon has a mitzvah of Drisha. What is this other mitzvah? So then he says, "Ulechora," and this is what I referred to the other day. Hayam makom lomar bekavanas al pi mashukasa v'ramban. Maybe what he meant was that parshas shoftim that right bezelishono this is ramban uputa shomikra laachar shiuma sameis al pi shneidim kishein sham yoser or al pi shlosha imim tzaun gimel yomar kasa v'asher hu gad lechav v'shamata tidrosh adavar heitev al pi kol edim animtzaim sham. That's how the Ramban understands the pasuk. So Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlo says maybe this, you know, seemingly, you know, extra, superfluous, mysterious minyan mitzvos of Rabbi Sajigon, the parsha, you know, of Chakira Sa'edim B'Yachkeru Heitev. Maybe that's what it is. It's the idea of, you know, trying to you know, increase or intensify the credibility of the Eidim. Get three if you can, you know, instead of two. Get 100, you know, instead of 99, or 100 instead of two, as the case may be. So then Ruchem Fishel Perlo goes on to say that he doesn't believe it. And he doesn't believe it for two reasons. Number one, because Rav Sajigon himself has a different interpretation, as the Ramban himself quotes, and you find it in Perush Rav Sajigon al Torah, by the way, of Alpi Shnayim or Shlosha Eidim. It's what I mentioned the other day, which is Shnayim Bifnei Shlosha. You have two Eidim with a Kabbalas Eidos of three, even in a Dine Nefashos case. Okay, so that's a whole different topic. So he says, oh, he's not going to use it for this. But his bigger question is, his bigger point is, he denies that the Ramban really thinks that there is a Doraisa preference for 3 over 2 or for 100 over 2, never mind for 100 over 99. He says, that's the Ramban, you know, weighing in Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikra. I'm not even sure what that means. Lefi Pshuto, because the Ramban is not the Ibn Ezra. And even in the Ibn Ezra, I'm not sure what it means. But at least the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, you know, have such a notion. I don't think the Ramban fully has such a notion. But Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo is so convinced that this cannot be a Din Doraisa that he dismisses what the Ramban says as simply Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's Al Pisa Yafshalom Adzuri Kavanas Rabbeinu. Right, but Ela Dimabad, the Ramban Gufel Kosov Kenel Fum Pshuta Shomikra, Abu Rabbeinu Gonya Shal Derech Hakeres Pshuta Shomikra. Okay, that's what we've mentioned. But the Ramban himself, Belav Achi Ikar Dino Shramban, Lomatzino Shoresh Bishum Duchta. Ramban Gufa Nira Shal Kosov El Fum Pashta Dikra, Belola Dina. The Fimad Parshin and High Krab Sifrei, Matzis and Sofar Kamadamakos, Ain Yasol the Dinzek Klal. So just, it's an interesting. Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo denies that there is any compatibility between the notion of Trei Kameya, right, and the Ramban's Pshuto Shel Mikra of Shlosha being better than Shnai. Exactly what I was mentioning yesterday is what I think the Ramban is really doing. You know, the Ramban is saying, when you have a minimum of two Edim, then you have a fact. And that's enough to establish a fact. And that's a katz. And that's trei kameya. Right? In my opinion, however the Ramban thinks, that but you always feel better if you have a million or 100 than if you have 2. Right? So it's not, 2 can never be overturned. A million edim against 2 is still trei utrei. Right? That doesn't mean that on another level, where you don't feel greater confidence, you know, with a million. By the way, it could be connected to the sugya in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara there discusses this machlokas rishonim, what it all means, whether tzorach levarer or in tzorach levarer. Let's say a guy in the Din Torah says, I have 2 kitei edim to back up my story, not just 1. Is he obligated to produce that? Tzorach levarer, in tzorach levarer? Do they have to be ksheirim? Or is it enough that he brings psulim, right? And what kind of halacha? Is that just like, you know, kind of like a mechzi kashikra or a schaivus halacha in case it has nothing to do with us? Or is it because that really bringing more edim or more kitei edim? The Gemara there really speaks about kitei edim. We'll discuss that Gemara when we talk about Nagea. But the Gemara speaks about multiple kitei edim. Is that just a schaivus or mechzi kashikra, reyasa? Or is it really because it's better? Again, the Torah has a minimum, says that nothing can be two edim. That threshold is already sufficient. That doesn't mean, right, that when you're rewriting the rules yourself, which you can do a little bit, even in Dini Edus perhaps, according to some views of Kibbalah, or Skaibus, right, the Ksos's view was that Le'inyan Atzmo, right, we have a different standard of Edus. Right, we've already touched on the question, you know, where we change the rules of Eidos, either through Eschaivos or other things, is that Nemanos really, or it's still an expansion of Shem Eidos? So, this is an interesting question, whether if you hold that Tzarech Levarer requires Eidim Ksheirim, and it isn't a Reyesa, but having committed to a higher standard, then you're acknowledging there's a higher standard. Now, is there a difference between multiple Kite Eidim and the amount of quantitative Eidim in a Kat? That's also a question you might be Mechalik in either direction. Either way, in my opinion, the Ramban, there's nothing in the Ramban's comment in his Perush Ala Torah that is a stira to the idea of Trei Kamei. But Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo didn't see it that way. Therefore, he thought it was just, you know, an Ibn Ezra-esque, my phrase, you know, Pshuto Shel Mikra that is not to be taken, you know, hashkafically or halachically seriously. What's his raya? So fascinating, and I think it's a very an interesting raya, but one which is exactly the point. His raya is that, number one, when the Gemara says, in the Mishnah and the Gemara say, Hikish, Shlosha, Lishnayim, Right? Imis kayem esedus b'shnayim lama pirat akasa b'shlosha. Why didn't they say the din of the Ramban? Because of chatchila, we should seek three. Number one question. Number two question, why do we find that a kat, you know, requires, after two at least, the tzir of lakat requires, according to many Rishonim, tochid edibor. In other words, if you have two edim, according to many Rishonim, it's not true for everybody, it's a makos issue, the end towards parak. Let's say you have a kat of edim, two, right? So what binds them together? What makes them one kat? But let's say you want to have more than two, let's say three, or 100, or 1,000,000, right? What binds them all to a kat? So there's a lot of evidence that the first two are a kat no matter when they come, and no matter the time lag between them. But beyond the first two, right, if you want to have a kat of three, or five, or seven, or 1,000,000, right, then everybody has to be told to take nibor of everybody else. That's what the evidence sounds like. In Babasar, Makos, Ksuvas, and so on. That's what a lot of the Mefarshim say. Right? So, and that's very logical, because the point is that, you know, you're waiting for the kat, right, until you have the kat. And once you have a kat, because you say Trey Kaneya, so then, you know, that's a kat. And the only way to expand the kat is if it's all simultaneous, or at least legally simultaneous, right? Tokedei divor. By the way, what am I talking about? Le'inyan ma? Le'inyan, the issues that a kat matter for. Mainly, trei kameya, batla miktasa batla kula, eina edim nasim zomamim acha zimu es kulam, kulas and chumras, right? But where a kat matters. Says Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlow, if the Ramban was right, then there's a kiyum in having three edim beyond having two, so why should you care about tochedei dibur? Right? Just like, and I'm not making this up, right? He says it. B'lav ha'chi mukra ha'chachim b'dekam ha'ravad lo chashiva kula meidu sa'ach ha'salik ha'shinu tochedei dibur. Im isa adim ayu edim har be'bedabar chayavim bezel mahaviyam im kein ma b'kach shiv siku kedei dibur b'natayim. This is the key words. Right? Do I understand it? Sure, it's very provocative. Once again, is there no way to be mechalik between two edim and three, even if you think that the Ramban's din zakiyum daraisa? Of course not. Of course, there's a really reason to be mechalek. Because the Ramban, as I say, in his Chidushim, Minran, Bava Basra, and Ksuvas, is the first one to join the bandwagon. Never mind, no one, lahalacha, can say, you know, that we don't hold Trey Kameya. Everybody agrees that Trey is Kameya. So the idea that there's a qualitative, even if you hold the Zakiyum Daraisa of more, or a bigger kat, or more Edim, I suspect it's not a bigger kat, it's more Edim. Alpidin, I mean. Nonetheless, the hagdara of a kat depends on shnayim. That's what we said before. The minimum is that two is a fact. Right? Two established, there's no safek. And not just midin hachra or birur, midin fact, until it's refuted or undermined. So that's what's koveya. The chalos, kat, depends only on shnayim. Anything beyond shnayim, the reason we say trei kameya, is because there's no trey and there's no meya, right? There's a kat, and there's a bigger kat, or I'm not even sure if there's a bigger kat. I'm not even sure we could call it kat plus. Maybe it's just kat and kat. At most, you might say a kat and a kat plus, or a bigger kat. Okay, but those are still kats. So to establish a chalos kat, that depends on two, even according to the Ramban. In the end of the day, yeah. Sorry, somebody. No, Ibn Ezra was a, sorry. You have to learn a little bit the convoluted way that I think and talk. What I meant was that, where is this, you mean? No, this is the Ramban. I mean, which Ramban am I talking about? That's the Ramban on Shoftim. On the Pasuk al Pishnayim u'Shlosha Eidim. Ramban gives two Perushim. One is the Rav Saad Jagon, about Kabbalah Seidos, even in Dina Nefashos, being an upper Shosha. And he says, I don't think that's the Pshat. I think the Pshat is that Bezin would want L'Katkhila to have three. And this is what Ibn Ezra, what I meant by the Ibn Ezra, what Ibn Ezra says, very nice Pshat, I don't think he means it al Pidin at all. I think it's just a Pshat in the Mikra. I call that Ibn Ezra-esque, or Rajbam, meaning Ibn Ezra sometimes says things like that. The Ramban will sometimes, I think whenever the Ramban is giving a Perush, you know, it always has some. That's what I meant, you know, by that. I assume everybody understood about Tolstoy yesterday, right? Okay. So this, I think, a very great example. One more point just to, before I move on to other things, is that, so what then is Rav Saad Jagon about? I dispute Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlo's dismissing of the Ramban for the Ramban, I don't think that's correct at all. And I think, it's an enormously important comment that he makes, because you need to confront it and answer it. And it really highlights the Tudinim, even for the Ramban. But what's the story with Rav Saad Jagon? So I think that the answer for the Rav Saad Jagon is, though, what we've been talking about. What is this parsha? It's the parsha of Eidos, I think, not just to be made, and not just to be Doresh and Choker. It's the idea that there's a parsha of Eidos, like we were saying, and that it isn't just about facts, but there's a chalos of Eidos, just like there's a parsha of Shoftim. Indeed, again, Rochum Fischer Perlo has a whole discussion, you know, lo yokum eidachad, you know, be'ish, l'kol obon l'kol chatos. So a lot of the Mefarshim Moni HaMitzvos count that. So he's really, really bothered. Again, what is that? Is that a nazara to the Dayanim to make sure that you don't mess up, you know, and you don't count eidachad, you know, for obon and chatos and mamon? And that really qualifies for Moni HaMitzvos. Like, what is that exactly? But I think, again, it's all the same idea. It's, you know, it's the idea that Eidos is a formal status, you know, and therefore its expansion and its limitations are halachically defined. And therefore, you know, it's important to acknowledge that Eidachot is not enough, you know, for Avon and Katos. You know, for whatever reason, the Ksos is there as a Kosov, the Nesivus is with the dummy, my explanation of Chalos Shein Eidos and Ka, that becomes a mitzvah, becomes a value in the halakha, not just a fact. That's what bothered Rabbi Ruchem Fischer Perlo. It sounds like it's a fact. You know, a similar discussion by the Rambam and the Ramban, which we'll talk about, we alluded to it yesterday, but Eidos Umdina, right? Not to be, use Eidos Umdina, Bedina Nefashos, right? Like, is that a mitzvah or is that a fact? The Ramban says, I don't know whether I should count on the minyan. It sounds like it's a fact. Right? But maybe it is. It's more than a fact. It's a value because it says something. It signifies something about the nature of what Eidos is and what it isn't. You know, it's the details that highlight the perspective on Eidos. Okay. There was a question? Yeah.
What is the connection between this and Theophilus Eidos?
What is the question?
The connection between this.
So what? This whole process, this whole idea.
I think I was going to say this.
What I'm trying to show is that Chiyuv HaGadlus Eidos is number one, according to some Rishonim, not just Kol Yisrael Reidim Zeh LaZeh V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. If you don't step forward, he's going to lose $100, right? And instead, what it is the obligation that you have to support the legal system, right? But, and that also could have been a narrower idea, namely, this is the system that we have, and we want to do the things that facilitate it and strengthen it and so on. But what I'm suggesting is that there's something more than that, that you see from all these different contexts about how Aedus works in a very sophisticated, like there's a, I'm trying to show there's a complex halachic view of Aedus. It's not just about, oh, you believe them, therefore these are facts, therefore you can use them. And once that is true, I'm going back to what I started with, which is, you know, there's a mitzvah connected to being a dayan, right? Having batei dinim and dayanim present in certain locations. But would you think that there'd be such a parallel to edim? Like having edim come forward beyond the pragmatic benefit it gives either your friend or the system? So what I'm trying to show with all this is that the difference between one and two and the role of three, you know, which isn't, but yet which isn't a cot. The fact that you can't take out just scraps of facts and build cases. We believe him way more than we should, you know, and sometimes we believe him way less than we should. All of these things show a certain halachic worldview of Eidos. And part of that makes more urgent the Hu'ed or Ra or Yada, just as it explains better why sometimes he spills over beyond just providing facts and Yada Eidin Tiabo or Rishona Lahamiso, or the view that he's Kayev, you know, to be the one who's master. Meaning the Eidim, who are intended to be objective, and they are, right, dispassionate, are also part of the process. They're not just used by the system. And therefore, coming forward and playing that role in the system is something which goes beyond simply being, you know, the source of facts that can be used for cases.
How does that connect to it being a chesed versus it being...
If it's just a chesed, then it has nothing, then there's nothing special about it. If you take the Ramban, for example, and there's nothing more to it. Again, the Ramban still has to work with the Mishnah and Sanhedrin and the Gemara and Bava Kamma. But let's say the Ramban alone about Gimel's Chasadim, right? Or if you take the Sifra and you don't think that this is unusual, you know, for Dine Mamanas to be Lo Samar Al Dam Riach, right? What I'm saying is you could take the view that the, and some I think Mefarshim do take the view, that the Chovas Haggadah has nothing to do with Eidos. It's not based on a pasuk in Eidos, according to some, right? And it's not a din in Eidos. It's a din in Hilchos Aveilos, Gimel's Chasad, right? Or it's a din in Hilchos Rotzeach, L'samar Adam Re'ach. Even those we were trying to suggest are more complex, because the Shulta says both, and the Rambam has both. The Ramban has to some way deal with both. But that aside, what I'm trying to show is that the majority think that that is not true. They think that it's a din in Hilchos Eidos. But even then, is it, oh, a specialized Gemilus Chesed or a specialized L'samar Adam Re'acha? Or is this really, like I said with the smack, right? This is a din in Eidos. It's not just a din in Chiyuv Mamon L'chaveir in one way or another. If that's true, I'm saying it may be part of a much bigger, because I'm also trying to explain not just why you have this chiyuv, but why the Torah characterizes, according to many of the Mefarshim who are reading the Pasuk, as Nesius Avon, as Techeta. Why is it, according to some, a lav? Why is some an asay and a lav? It just seems to me to be way more chamor, right, than it should be, given other parallels. That's what I'm trying to explain. I mean, the Rambam says that in Sefer Mitzvos. You could explain it more narrowly, but the Rambam says, this is a big deal. This is Nesiyas Avon. The Chinuch says it twice. I'm trying to explain because Edom are not just lemaisa, the linchpins of this system, providing the facts to allow cases to efficiently go forward and have, you know, Jewish law, you know, govern Jewish society. But the institution of Edus, the stature of Edim, the role of Edim, is also something that is part of this whole dynamic. That's what I'm trying to explain. Yeah?
So if we take the Ramban seriously, and we think that
Ramban,
when we say that 100 Adim is actually, let's say, a cut plus or fundamentally qualitatively different, perhaps, would there be nafkamina, let's say, by a klasha?
No. Khalila. That's the whole point that we're making. Trey Kamea. No, right. It's lechatchila, but it's a doraisa lechatchila.
No
nafkamina. I mean, again, Avraham Perlo is looking for nafkamina, but it's crystal clear in Shas that Trey Kamea, that's what Trey Kamea means. Lekula lechobra. He's just saying, well, if that's true, and you also, you know, are distinguishing between 2 and 3 regarding the requirement of token de gimbal for a cat, right, then what is it? Right. I'm saying, no, because there's a recognition. If I say to you about anything in the world, right, that there's a certain minimum standard that can't be overturned for something. Let's say we have something we're discussing, and, you know, it has a certain measure or standard, and I say, well, if it's this amount, you know, that's the minimum required, but once you have that minimum, you're good. Right? Does that mean ever, let's say I'm an insurance company and I'm not going to give you insurance on your home unless you have a certain like minimum standard of the building code. You know, and therefore you're safe from, you know, floods and earthquakes and so on and so forth. Okay? And that's the minimum. And if you have that minimum, then anything that happens to you, I will cover fully, without questions. Does that mean that there, by definition, is not a higher standard? Or that I might now prefer a higher standard? Or, you know, that I'm going to jump to give you insurance, you know, more quickly, you know, if you have that higher standards? Now, in some cases, it'll be enough Camino, a little premium. You know, we don't have that in Gimel Ishnai. But anytime you have a standard that's a minimum, it doesn't exclude there being a chalos kiyum. You can always say, oh, that's a minimum. Everything else is plus. On a kat level, I think that's true. But on a pius balabayas or on a confidence level, I'm just trying to show that in the world of, you know, making your own edus, like kiblo alai, assuming that isn't just as chaybos, which is a debate, and in the world of, you know, tzorek levarer, assuming that isn't just as chaybos, I'm making assumptions. And logically, it's very reasonable to think that there can be higher standards of something without nafkamina because you've accomplished the minimum. Okay. Let us, let's move on. Okay. Just one final point regarding the Tutosin that we read on our daf. On Laban Abed Beis. Again, we have to get back to the straight shot. Matarya, we're about to start going more straight. But a couple of people asked me about this also. First of all, the 2 day of Satosis on Laban Abed Beis, we already discussed. The bottom one, Aseh de Kavod HaTorah, the relationship between Kavod HaTorah and Kavod Kahuna, and the role of Isyoiv LeMechila, and the personal nature of the Talmud Chacham. I also wanted to connect it to the more democratic, yet more powerful Keser Torah. Again, that isn't a stira minei obey, not in the world of Torah, anyway. But also we should notice that the first day, which assumed that hierarchy is reflected by Mechila, also has a very big chiddush that we should at least note, and that not everybody certainly agrees with. Namely, Yossi, what's the chiddush in the first day of Tosas? The question is, how can they say Amod Yane Amelech Amod Al Raglecha when the Gemara here says that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to stand? Because Kvod HaTorah Adif, and we know Kvod Kuna Gedol is even Adif than that. That's why the second day says, no, it's complicated. What did the first day say? That Shiny Nefashos. So is that... I mean, we know that Isurim and Mammon play a role when it comes to the question of Kavod. That's true. But what is the Chiddush here? Is there a Chiddush here? Yeah?
The Eved is considered Nefashos?
No, I don't think so much that. Really? I think... Ariel?
For
Say again. Is this a typical, let me put it this way, is this a typical, again, we've encountered both on the Tviya question and especially in the, you know, Petur Talmud Chacham question, the difference between, and possibly Kura Gadol and Malchus, that's a separate argument we already discussed, right, whether the chiluk between Isurim and Malchus. And basically that's what Tosa is saying here too. He's saying, well, this is Nefashos, so it's different, correct? What's different about this one, or at least noteworthy about it? If we were talking about the previous case, where it was a Talmud Chacham or a Kohen Gadol or a Melech, who is, and the question is he obligated, you know, to show up in court? Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I mean, just this case is just, is there was no practical difference whether he's standing or sitting. It's not that whether or not he's, there's no practical difference in the rule.
The issue here is Amida. It's not whether he shows up in court. If I say to you, there's a difference, Ein Chachma, Ein Eitza, Ein Tuna, Keneged Hashem, Kol Makom Sheish, you know, Chil Hashem, Ein Cholkin, Kavod L'Ram. Right? And that's the reason why, you know, you don't have to come to court even to testify in this billion-dollar case or this Pruta case, okay? But, you know, if it's a matter of La Fruche Misura, you have to come to court, right? If you're a Talmud Chacham, even to stand in front of a Dain de Zutar Mine. Well, that makes sense. Right? Even then, right? We want to know how, we'll get that back to that in a second, how hard and fast those distinctions are. In other words, we'll still wonder whether, you know, more Zilzal, you know, can change the equation. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. The Kiddush here, Aryeh, is
that
what?
Even though there's no difference in the Pesach.
We're just talking about Amida. Meaning, is the chalos of Amida in a Nefashos case different than the chalos of Amida in a Dini Mamanis case? I wouldn't have thought that that's a distinction between Iser, or that the topic of the case would be relevant to the requirement or to the capacity to dismiss the requirement of Amida. But according to the first day of Tosis, it is. That's worth noting. That's number one. The second thing, and now this goes to the second point, is just, I alluded to it, but I didn't follow through with it, so I just want to speak about it quickly, and that is the other Tosis, Avali Surah, Ein Chachma, Ein Eitza, etc. Right, so, Aryeh, just quite quickly, what bothers, Tosis bothered by Kohen Gadol, go ahead.
Should we read it?
Yeah, read it quickly. Oh, so that part is, as we know, as we said already, that's Lishitaso in Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Where he's assuming, never mind Kohen Gadol, but even Melech, right, is going to be obligated to come to court in the case of Nefashos, correct? And as we noted, that's a debate within the Rambam and, you know, other Rishonim and so on. We discussed that already. Good, fine. Let's continue. But then comes the next part, which is quite intriguing. Go ahead. Yeah. So now they're asking that there seems to be evidence in the Sugya Brachos Daf Yutes, when the Gemara talks about Kavod HaBrios, right? So there's a distinction between Kumbase and Sheval Taisa. So it sounds like that even in the area of Isurim, Sheval Taisa should be Mako, the Mokom Zilzal. And here you have basically Sheval Taisa not coming to court, and it doesn't make a difference. It sounds like, you know, the Rubicon of Iser versus Mamon is Kovei. Correct? So my answer to this question, that's what I was alluding to the other day, is this such a Davar Pashut? Even in the question, right? Because we spent time trying to suggest that number one is kvishas edus or im lo yagid, right? of course, we all know that on one level, it's a sheval tasa, meaning there's no physical action. But we want to know a little bit legally, you know, whether or not, you know, first of all, we want to know, is it a lav or an aseh or both? Right? That's not so clear. That's a machlokas rishonim. Moreover, I've been suggesting that the use of terms like, you know, monea, you know, eduso, or kvishas edus, as opposed to e hagada, you know, suggests that, you know, the obligation, the urgency, the expectation, you know, turns this omission into a kind of a commission. And I've even been suggesting that the tviya in Dine Mamanis, and maybe isurim as a category because of the chiv lafrushe me isura, plays a role in that as well. So what you might say is that the chovas hagada here isn't a typical sheval tasa in light of the things that we've been suggesting. That may be exactly the point. So in the end, is this what Tosas answers or not? All right.
He says it's sort of the answer.
So let's see. The Yesh Lomar?
The Yesh Lomar, the Hassan did not got a little mixed, especially in the Kroger. The Kach Sheval Taisa Shari. He that the Kroger and the Lo, or Dafi Kabo, the Yu, Kazan, or Mila, Pim, Shor, Bif, Shor, Kib, Adam, Asher, did not got a big nine mixed up. The Havi Parak, Mina. But Hafa Gabi, he just let the Gnai Koka. Lo Shari, the Sura, Fu, Bishay, Val Taisa. The Dami, the Gnai, the Mata Sako Kuba.
Yeah. So again, the first answer of Tosis is very interesting. It's definitely not anything close to what we just said. I mean, it is a Sheval Taisa, just like, you know, the other cases are. And basically, what is the answer then? A sliding scale of Gnai, and so this, of course, works as a paradigm for like the Tumim, you know, who said that even in Isurim, right, there might be cases where, you know, the Zilzal, again, here it's, let me say it this way, Tosis is saying that, you know, it isn't all Kumvase Sheval Tasa. Right, kuvase sheval tasa, all things being equal, and there's also the level of the zilzul. Now, it is also true that in Tosus's case, the level of the zilzul is defined by objectively by the category, not the person necessarily. Right. So again, it's, you know, meis mitzvah versus, you know, misas krovo, you know, and things of that sort. But it doesn't take. You could be mechalek. You could say, oh, when it comes to the impact of Sheval Tasa on this mix, right, so the quantity of Zilzul, you know, plays a role as well. But certainly, it's a hop, skip, and a jump, you know, to what the Tumim is also suggesting, which is not about Kumbat Seif and Sheval Tasa, but the categories or the difference between Isur and Mamon itself maybe depends on the level of Zilzul. Right, you could be mechalek, but that's what he's assuming. A and B, that the level of zilzul, instead of being defined objectively by the violation, right, is also dependent upon the stature or the circumstances of the particular violation. And that's not a different halachic category, but different gabras or different circumstances. Either way, this idea that, you know, there's this like fluid, you know. Weighing, you know, of, you know, one side against the other. In other words, what you gain and what you lose, you know, gives the impression that this is all a kind of an ase dochalos ase type of an issue. In that sense, meaning, you know, you have two, you know, problems here, and you have to choose, you know, between the zilzul and. And the urgency to be doing whatever it is that you're doing. So how urgent it is and how much zilzul, you know, is going to be suffered, these are going to be different. How you measure that and so on is still open to question. But that's really what this is all about. However, I don't think it necessarily has to. I think that's what it sounds like in Tosis, but it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. Perhaps, as we discussed, another way to look at this is to look at it in a more kind of a triage way, you know, to look at the totality of everything and to try to do the best in aggregate, or even a little more specialized, to try to figure out that there is, sometimes you violate something, even b'shev al ta'aseh, and other times it gets violated b'shev al ta'aseh, you know, almost agav en mimeila. And maybe that's the point. The point is that you can't be doche something, you know, certainly not kubba say, maybe even the b'shev al ta'aseh, right? But you can be doing some other legitimate thing, even if mimeila, you know, the result is that, you know, something, a spiritual opportunity is missed, or a violation takes place, but we look at it as mimeila and aga. So this is a question in general. You know, yesh koch d'ad chachamim lakar davar, you know, min haTorah. Or the question of kavod abrios, the Gemara in Brachos. You know, we look at these as, you know, weighing, you know, the cost and the benefit, right? Or that surely is part of the equation, but part of it also is that that turns what we're doing into a kind of davar d'mimeila rather than, you know, something that is more, you know, deliberate. So this famous, whenever you have this distinction between kumbase and shebal taseh, for example, there are, I think, three ways, you know, to explain it. You know, one is in terms of kal and chomer, which is kind of the way Tosa starts off here, right? And then you have to weigh. The other is what some of the gonim in Brachos and Daf Yutes in that very sugya speak about, and others as well. And that is a difference between mitzvah saseh and mitzvah lo saseh, not so much between kumba saseh and shebal taseh per se. That's usually those go together. Maybe the chomer, ha'iser, or the rules of dechia, of essen and lavin are different, just like, you know, there are other differences of aseh docha lo saseh is a difference, and, you know, ad chomesh bedamav is a difference. There are numerous differences between essen and lavin. That's another way. Then you have to figure out what's an asay, what's a lav. Chovas hagada, that's a tricky question. The third way is what I'm suggesting here, and that is that kumvatsay in sheval tasa, or how you define something in a state of sheval tasa, is really is very crucial. So that, just, if you want a good formulation of it, Rav Chanan Wasserman in the Kovet Shiurim in a bunch of places has this explanation of, you know, Yesh Koch V'ad Chachamim Lak or Dover Minat Torah B'Sheval Tasa, not B'Kumbaseh, where he says it's not Essen and Lavin, and it's not Kal and Chamor. The idea is that Sheval Tasa, you're not violating if you're Sheval Tasa. But I'm just adding, how true is that? There are factors that go into figuring out when you're violating something B'Sheval Tasa, and when, basically, the violation is mimela, and all you're doing is what you're doing. You're doing that other thing. You're kind of misasek. I don't mean misasek in a legal sense, but I mean given the choices in front of you. So here, I think that's particularly relevant to our question, and to the question whether we consider Kvisha Sa'edos to be a kumbaseh or sheval taseh. Okay. What's the second answer of Tosas? Are you? So what do you make of this? A different definition of what kumbase and sheval tasa mean in the context of zilzol and isur. Meaning that it's the impact, even if it's on others, rather than the act itself. So again, in a parallel way to what I was suggesting, which is, in a sense, the second answer of Tosis is, you're wrong, this is not Sheval Tasa, it's Kumbaseh. But for a totally different reason. Tosis is defining Kumbaseh here based on the impact, where I'm defining kumbase and shevaltasa, at least, you know, those cat or an active shevaltasa and a passive shevaltasa, if you want to call it that way, if that isn't just, you know, kind of a tautology, in terms of the urgency, you know, and the urgency of what you're passing up, and the urgency of, you know, what you're passing it up for. Yeah.
This answer wouldn't work for lactatosis in Sanhedrin, because something that's kicking out Kodesh. This
right.
Only ones directly impact it.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that, you have to go back to the first
answer. I think so. Yeah. So it's interesting, this question about the role of, you know, the distinction between kumbase shevaltasa, or when we treat shevaltasas, you know, as an agav or a mimela, as opposed to like a policy that you're, you know, violating them or ignoring them. This is an issue that comes up in a number of sugyas. Sugya in Brachos Daf Yud Tes, about Kavod HaBriyos. Sugya in Yevamos, Yesh Koch Ba'at Chachamim Lakar Dabar Ma'atot. It also comes up in other cases. Another example is actually relevant to the upcoming Chag, the problem of Baltigra, or Baltigra and Baltosif. The Rajba, maybe we'll talk about a little part of this tomorrow, but the Rajba in Rosh Hashanah wants to know why the Takanas Chachamim, you know, not to blow shofar on Shabbos, like, why isn't that Baltigra? So, and the answer that he gives, very important answer, Takanas Chachamim is never Baltigra. The question is controversial, and the answer, Imkvar, Azkvar, is also controversial. Every time you sit home and you don't do a mitzvah sase doraisa, that's considered to be Baltigra? Violation of Baltigra? That's what all the Achronim is. Often, many of them quote the Rajba. In general, it's very hard to figure out how to violate Baltigra. That's probably good news, you know, if you don't want to violate. But from an abstract point of view, it's an interesting phenomenon. We have this lo sosif and lo sigra. Right? Well, tosif isn't always so easy either, but Baltigra is infinitely more difficult to accomplish, right? So how do you do? What is Baltigra? So this Rajba is extremely intriguing, because you seem to be saying that when the Chachamim told you not to do blow shofar, that's Baltigra. So, maybe we'll talk more about it a little bit tomorrow, but partly the question is, you know, it's impossible to say that Baltigra applies when you ignore something, the Shevaltasa, kind of Mimela and Agav, right? Or Shevaltasa, put it that way. When you actively avoid, or you make a choice to do something different, you know, and we view it as a negation or a slap in the face or a priority over the mitzvah, even then, I'm not sure that should be necessarily Baltigra, but at least it becomes possible. So I think this, the answer to the Rajba very quickly, partly is that Baltigra, when the Chachamim decided to legislate out shofar b'Shabbos, right, they didn't just say, you know, an chovas hagavra, oh, by the way, every time, every whatever amount of years, you know, Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, right, you know, Sheval Tasa, you know, don't pick up your shofar and blow it. Right? You might have thought of it, the Takana, that way, but it seems like that's not really what it is. What they did was they legislated out Midrabanan Tkiya Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. That's viewed as a kind of an active, you know, decision, not a, you know, Mimela result. Again, I don't think you have to look at the Takana this way, but presumably that's what the Rajba is really telling us. And then he's Mechadesh, maybe it's connected, that the Chachamim have this right, and therefore that's not called Daltegra. Okay, we'll talk more about that if we get a chance. Maybe again the urgency to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, more than simply a regular mitzvah saseh, because the day is defined by it, right? This is getting into tomorrow. Zichron Trua, Yom Trua, Yalachem, is also something which makes it, you know, more of a neglect. You're going to have a Rosh Hashanah without the shofar. That isn't just failing to or refraining from, you know, doing the mitzvah. Right? That's a more active, right, decision. And the fact that it's a legislative decision and there's this greater urgency which makes the absence of it so nikar, so striking, you know, all of that puts it, even though it's Sheval Tasa, you know, as a policy, you know, such that maybe it's Baltigra. Anyways, there's much more to say about Baltigra and its Hagdara, but see, and even about Shofar, but let's leave it that for the moment. I'm just trying to explain that this idea, Yesh Koch Be'al Chachamim Lakor, Kavra Brios, the distinction here in Tosis, what's considered Kumbase and Sheval Tasa regarding some of the categories that we're talking about in, you know, Zilzul and Visalamta and Kovat Hagada, Baltigra. You might be Mechalik, say sometimes it depends on Ase V'Lav, sometimes it depends on just a quantitative, you know, weighing one against the other, which is the lesser of two evils. And in some cases, you know, in the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman type way, what's really happening is trying to figure out whether we're dealing with a passive-passive or an active-passive, and the different levels of active-passive. Okay, so that's just something to think more about. Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry it took longer. To the next point. So far we've discussed Chovas Hagad. Now let's talk about Korban Shvuas Eidos, and especially the two scenarios. Yeah.
Were you taking a stance on the idea about whether or not the Ozer Samadar?
Say that again?
In the case when you're coming to test that the Ozer Samadar as opposed to the case two also discusses, which is a Hachi as an Ozer. Then the Nozi Kehom Rama at least discuss what's the. Do you also have a flow to test that in the case where the Chachamim were going to be Ozer Samadar as opposed to being Ozer, I guess, Alam?
Well, I don't think Tosis is talking about that, but he's talking about impact.
Does the
impact
matter as much? Like they're just
going to
make something also something that was going to be murder instead.
You mean according to second day?
Yeah. It sounds like with impact, it should be either way.
I think so. I'm not sure. Let me think more about it. And by the way, regarding that question, I don't know, if you look at Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, if you have it there, the language in terms of what. You know, what's at stake in terms of the Toveya, as we've discussed it, just to get it back on the record, clearly is much more than is required in Perek Aleph, Lukos Eidos Halacha Aleph. You have the, Adam, you have it?
Yeah. HaToveya Eidov Lehoi Lo Eidos Sheyis Chayiv HaNitba BeEidusan Levada Litein HaToveya Zeh Maman HaMetaltel VeKofru BeEidusan VeNishbu Bein Shenishbu BeBeisdin Bein Shenishbu Chutz LeBeisdin Hare Elu Chayavin Mishum Shivuas Eidos Shehare Hifsiduhu Maman BeKfirasam.
So clearly, what's the key there? That makes it different? There's no bein ba-bein ba. It has to be negative for the nitva and good for the toveya,
yeah.
Right? And it also has to be biladav. In other words, that there's no other way for it to happen. So in Chovas Hagadas Eidos, this is the question that was asked, right? The Rambam doesn't say, you know, that there's no chi of Hagada if there are other alternative ki te'edim. And we'll talk about that. That's the Sugya Lama Gimel that we still have to talk about. But if there's Shteki Te'edim, you know, what happens? Let's say one of them is Krovim, Bin Shoseyim, but that's a Sugya later on. But the point is that Korban Shvuas Eidos is requirements of Hefsed to the Toveya are much, much clearer. As we discussed, we also discussed the question about Mursha versus Shliach, but as correctly was pointed out, for the Rambam himself, you know, that also is complicated because he mentions Shliach. Okay. Either way, let's get to the main point. So the Mishnah here says, records a debate right between Eitan, if you don't mind, between Rav Meir and the Chacham. Correct? Mishnah here in Lamed Amud Aleph. Right? Bifnei Bezdin v'shatzo, like a bit of a convoluted way to read the Mishnah, but Bifnei Bezdin v'shalo Bifnei Bezdin mipiatzmo. Yeah. So this is a machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And if nothing else, immediately it grabs our attention. A ton in what way? What do we wonder when we read the Mishnah? Well, of course, we have to explore each shita and see what it's based on and what the implications are. But just as an immediate surface impression about Korban Shavuos Eidos, we're immediately wondering, what? Whose shita is the difficult one? Rav Meir. Why? Because he distinguishes and he has a Shavuos Eidos outside of Bezdin. Right? The Chachamim say, you know, if there are two ways to violate Shavuos Eidos, you know, that shouldn't, you know, impact a much more basic question, and that is whether or not, you know, it has to be the Bezdin, which is the Mokom of Chiyuv Mamon, right? So, on the surface, Rav Meir's Shita is the more difficult one. Okay, but it raises the question, which question then does it raise? If you're just reading it, you're wondering right away.
Where does it come from? What are they arguing about?
Where does it come from? What are they arguing about? Good, but like the bigger stakes question. And that is like, are there two different mechaivim within Shavuos Eidos? Right? That's how big is the distinction between Piacherim and the Piatzma. Correct? So, right, then the Gemara itself. You can read for us quickly on Lamed Aleph. Go ahead. Okay, so does it add any clarity to... Now we know where he got it from. It comes from a limud issue, right? Does that help us in terms of understanding it? It is. And would you say that whatever position you take on Dun Minah V'Uka V'Atra in Shas, you know, is going to determine in every case, you know, this kind of a parallel argument? That was a little bit.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Right? Why not?
You have to decide what.
What?
And sort of you decide
what you want
to apply
or
not to apply.
Yeah, it's clear that there is a debate. You know, a limud kind of a debate. If you learn A from B, you know, A has a certain character. Let's think what dun minab, uminah, dun minab, yukuba atra really means, right? What's that?
How do they know that
what? So that's part of the limud. Well, we'll get to that. Yeah, well, so that's part of the limud that it has to be kfir. That's the mishnayos later on also, that there has to be kfir of a bezdin, because otherwise there's no hefsed. Because
why is it only limited to not
mean Rav Meir? Why is Rav Meir limiting it? The chacham applied to Rav Meir and the chacham. The chacham applied to Ben Piat. That's what we're trying to figure out, right? So the point is. What is the issue of Dun Minah and Uka V'Atra? Meaning, the classic case would be, right, that you have a certain kind of halacha of a certain character, is what I mean to say. It has, like, you know, factually for sure, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? Factually, it, you know, the, it's spoken of in a certain way in the Torah, or the Makar addresses a certain case, and there's a gray area that we learn out from somewhere else. Okay, good. Now, if that's somewhere else, you know, we're identical in its character, you know, to this din, then, you know, there probably would be no nafkamina, right? So typically, the cases that we're going to have are cases where you have an area of halacha that is characterized in a certain way, and the halacha, through the limud, extends that din, right, in a way which is not obvious, right, based on a hekesh or a limud from another halacha, which seems to be of a slightly different character, or of a different, sufficiently different character. And then the question is, well, since the source stems from there, but the point is the extension of here, so, you know, how much here and how much there, right? And again, if you look at it at a technical level and you just were not thinking about any of this, we're trying to, not trying to rationalize it at all, you know, so, oh, let's say to everything from a Xeris Akasim point of view, right? We have a limud, we have a din, right? We, the Torah tells, or is explicit, or the limudim are in the right place, and then there's an expansion that's learned from somewhere else. So the question always is, there's an objective question, dun minav, uka ba'atra, but when it comes to limudim and gzeras hakasuv, that's one way to look at it, right? So the question is it, you know, the source or the target? And then you end up with a lot of machloksim and a lot of different details. If you were to say this is a limud and exeris akasov issue, that would be fine. However, assuming, and it's probably a good bet, right, that you're not going to always say dun mina umina, and you're not going to always say dun mina v'ukabiatra, no matter who you are. Right? That implies that there's a little bit of lumbus or logic that is here as well, right? Meaning, in some cases, it's going to be perfectly clear that you're going to say dun mina umina, because whatever the gili milsa is that you're getting from somewhere else, in order for it to remain an expansion of here, it's still going to have to conform with what here requires. Everybody with me? I'm just speaking a little abstractly, but I'll bring it to the case concretely in just a second. Sorry, it's so late. It will take a little bit of tomorrow, also the beginning of the first week, because I want to get part through this topic. The and I did throw in a little bit of Rosh Hashanah. A little bit of us. And on the other hand, sometimes it's clear in the other way, right? Namely, that the dun mina has to be ba'uki bi'atra, because what it is that you're taking, the integrity of what you're taking, cannot exist without what that is. Right? And then, you know, there's this debate. Maybe it's a debate across the board, or maybe it's just a debate in each individual case, depending on that assessment. Okay, so let's be more concrete right here. Right? Right, you asked, you know, maybe the first thing to ask is why does Mipi Acherim need Bezdin? Right? So let's build on your question for a second. I was just saying, you have to talk about Rameir and Rabbanan in context of that, right? I mean, so let's say the Chachamim, right? They say, Dumino bi'uki, Dumino mina, right? So, Dumino. Yeah. So if the Chacham are saying everything depends on Bezdin, like what is this Bezdin factor? Clearly there's a Bezdin factor, right? And that is very that is very clearly part of the definition of Shavuos Eidos. Right? And it's also clear that in Shavuos HaPikadon, right, all things being equal, that is not a factor or not. Is there any logic to that? You tell me, since you raised it. Pinchas, right? That's a coincidence that there's a kasu? No, where you, this, before you get to the question, why should you distinguish between Mipiatzmo and Mipiachayim? According to a mayor, let's just think about why do you need Bezdin? What's the yichus of Bezdin and Shuas Ha'edus and non-Shuas Ha'Pikadon? Let's start with that. What?
What type of Eidus are
they? What do we care what type of Eidus? Is it logical or not? Is it that difficult, that question to answer? It sounds like you think it's a difficult question to answer, because you're not... I don't know what Adam, why not just say, because Haggadah Eidus, there's no legal formal Haggadah Eidus aside from Bezdin. So when he's being challenged, right, to give testimony, Bezdin is a very natural venue for Shavuos Eidus. That's a... Yeah, Rav Meir is mechudash, not the fact that Shavuos Eidus requires a Bezdin. And what about Shavuos Ha'Pikadon? Should that really require a Bezdin? You impose somebody, you say to somebody, you know, you had my object. And he says, no, I don't. And you say, well, I demand that you swear that you don't have my object. We'll call it, we'll make it clear for everybody. Gezel ayidei shavua. Not a schaibus. What do you mean a schaibus? Not a schaibus. It's gezel. There's gezel if you take an object. But yitzal chanus miyad mitzri. There's gezel if you're makish. Kofar b'kadon is a gazel. If you're kofar b'kadon or something like it, or you're makish, right, b'momon shol chavero, al yidei shvua, that is shvuas ha'pikadon. Should that require a bezdin? Gzela, you have to, but gzela takes place only in a bezdin? Clearly not. So in shvuas ha'pikadon, the idea that you don't need a bezdin is very, very reasonable. And in shvuas ha'edus, the idea that you do require a bezdin is very reasonable. Okay, so for a mayor to say, you know, that we're mechalik between the piacherim and the in both cases is very mechudash. And it raises the question, you know, are we dealing with two different types of dinim? So if we step back a little bit, let's take Shavuos Eidus for the moment. We'll talk also about Shavuos Ha'Pikadon. But in parallel, when we began the year, we mentioned, right, that, let's take Tosis's question for a moment. Tosis Bava Kama says, how can the Gemara and the Mishnah, the Gemara Bava Kama, the Mishnah Sanhedrin, how can they say Behu Eido Ra Yada, how can they quote the Pasuk in Vayikra Hey Aleph for Chovas Haggadah? The story there is Korban Shavuos Ha'Edus. What kind of question is that? And some Rishonim, like Tosis, think, okay, so the Binochanami, the Pasuk is talking about two different people. Right? So, different answers in the Rishonim, like we know. We don't have to review it. We just did it. What's so good about the question? What's so good about the question is not just that Lemaisa is talking about something else, but the thing that it's clearly talking about, seemingly, right, should have been consequential to determining whether or not you just automatically apply this to something less. Right? In other words, what role, I'm saying in a complicated way because I'm just trying to tell you where we get it from, right? But what I'm really asking is a very simple thing, and that is, Shavuos Ha'Edus is a hybrid. Shavuos Ha'Pikadon is a hybrid. Meaning it's comprised, each one of them is comprised of two constituent elements, each of which seemingly stands on its own, and that come together in a awkward kind of a way, or at least not in so obvious a way. Right? Shavuos Ha'Edus is constituted of Hefsed Mamon Ayidei Kvishas Eidus, which we, if we were the Rambam, quite correctly would put in Hilchos Eidus, unless we wanted to put it in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, right? That's telling too. Right? And Shavuos Sheker, Shavuos Bitui, you know, B'Sheker, the guy lied. Right, under oath, which according to the Rambam belongs in Hilchos Shavuos. Shavuos HaPikadon, it's also a hybrid, as like I just said. If you have a chefetz and you deny that you have it, right? You say it was stolen, you say you never got it, you say you gave it back. That's called Kopra Pikadon. That's a form of gzela, albeit, now it's also remember, there are different types of gzela. There are categories of gzela. Right? There's Vayigzal, the classic is certainly Vayigzal Achanis Miyana Mitzri, a Maisa Hotzos, a Chepetz, Balkorcha, Mershus Abaylim, or Geneva, which is Beseser. But again, the classic case being you do an act of Kinyan, you take the object physically from one Mershus to another. Okay. And Kofra B'Pikadon, just like Sholeach Yad, you know, and Toin Tainas Ganav, and a few other cases are, you know, satellites, let's say, of Geneva or Gezela, Oshek Skar Sacher, you know, and so on. Shol Shalomidas, right? Shlichus Yad. These are forms of Gezela. Okay, they're not the classic, but certainly Kofra B'Pikadon is a form of Gezela. And affect certain things, either kinyane gzela, you know, do you just violate the isra, or also chiyuve achrayas, okay, things that we could talk about, but we're probably not going to spend so much time. We probably will a little bit more in shvud. We get to perek shvud HaPikadon. But in the end of the day, we're talking about a form of gezel, and you're a gazel without the shvua. But if you're gozel ayide shvua, that's called, and that triggers the din of shvuas HaPikadon. And once again, the Rambam deals with Dinei Shavuos HaPikadon, Dinei Hakhashas Pikadon in Hilchos Gzeila, and he deals with Shavuos HaPikadon in Hilchos Shavuos. The Rambam, as I mentioned, flipped the order for some reason. The Masechta is Eidos before Pikadon, right? Dalet, Perek Dalet, Perek Hei. The Rambam switched it for some interesting reason. Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, Hilchos Shavuos is Shavuos HaPikadon. And Perek Tes and Perek Yud is Shavuos HaEidos. Interesting. But in the end of the day, we're talking about a hybrid. And the question, whenever you have a hybrid, is, you know, you normally face three choices, roughly structurally, right? One is, that this is a real hybrid. This hybrid is a real chalos, right? It's a combination. Per se. And the other is, in other words, you wouldn't put it in Hilchos Shavuos, and if you could only put it in one place, you wouldn't put it in Hilchos Shavuos, and you wouldn't put it in Hilchos Eidos. I don't know, you'd put it in Hilchos Shavuos Eidos, whatever. I'm not talking about Lamaisa, you might have to put it somewhere, but you know what I mean. Or it's one constituent qualified by the other, or the opposite. In other words, this is basically a chiyuv. Have said Mamun Ayde Kvishas Eidos, but egregiously you did it even Ayde Shvua, right? Or it's a Shvua's Bitui, which is also Mafsid Mamon, you know, and Kovesh Eidos. It's primarily Shvua's Halakha, primarily Eidos Halakha, or something in between. And the same question, Shvua's HaPikad. So when Tosa said, you know, how do you know Chovas Hagada from here? The pasuk is talking about a korban shvua when there's a shvua. So minimum you could say what Tosfos is saying is the pasuk is in a case which is more chamor than the application, right? And the laws of logic always dictate. You know, you can learn a kal from a kal b'chomer, but you can't go the other way. Just because there's a violation when you do more doesn't mean there's a violation when you do less. If there's a violation when you do less, there's certainly a violation when you do more. That's all that Tosfos really asks. Tosfos' question is fine. But Tosfos' question could be a much stronger question if we understand that, you know, at least initially, that Korban Shavuos HaEidos is triggered, you know, never mind 50%, but maybe even 90% or maybe 100% by the bitui, by the Korban, is triggered by the Shavua. It's a specialized Shavua. Right, it's a shvua shel kvishas eidos, and that has its own particulars. But the mechayiv is shvua sheker, and the hefsid moment of those things are the characterization, the tnai in the shvua. Then the question is even stronger. Like, what does this parsha have to do with that? The same thing could be played out in Shu'as HaPikado. When the Rajba says what he says, which is the Pasuk speaking only about Korban Shu'as HaEdos. Right? But what does the Rajba say? What's your name again?
Ilan.
Ilan, yeah. That is your name. You answered correctly. I'm agreeing. Yeah, go ahead. What does the Rajba say? No, I was agreeing about the name part. You didn't say it, the other part. What does the Rajba say? In Baba Kama. We mentioned it a few times. I'm getting back to it now. The Pasuk speaking only about Korban Shu'as HaEdos. How does the Gemara derive much less of an offense from there?
It's implied.
Excellent. It's implied. Meaning there wouldn't be Korban Shu'as HaEdos if there wasn't the Chivah Agadah. That's a big statement. Not true if you emphasize what? Stop a moment. The Shvua part as a Mechayiv. But let's say the Shvua part is not a Mechayiv sufficiently. Let's say either the Shvua, the integrity of a Shvua's Bitui, the case of a Shvua's Bitui is lacking here. Or let's say the Dinim, the consequence of violating a Shvua's Bitui, right, seems to be way overstated in the Psukim. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying one of those scenarios. If the korban that you bring, or the onesh, right, is not commensurate with a mechayim of Shu'as Sheker, or if the case, just the physical case, is not one which fully justifies a Maisa Shvua, right, then there has to be more to it than that. Or the emphasis has to be different. That's what the Rajba says. Basically, what the Rajba says is, but he doesn't. Now, you could have said what the Rajba said about Shu'as HaEdos, right? But did he? Let's have some of the new members of the Shir. Did he? The argument the Rajba makes could have been stated about there can't be a Korban Shu'as HaEdos unless it's a Chiyuv Agadah. Would that be a good argument to answer? Absolutely. But the Rajba did not go so far. Instead, what did he say, Ilan? He didn't say there can't be Korban Shu'as HaEdos without Chiyuv Agadah. What did he say? What's your name again?
Isaac.
It
only can't be a Mushva Mipi
Acherim. Correct. He said Mushva Mipi Acherim couldn't exist without Chiyuv Shu'as HaGadah. Now, by saying, what does he mean by that?
That aspect of the Korban can't exist,
but
the other aspect could exist.
But that's his way of saying, in my opinion, the Chiddush of Mipi Acherim, right, falls short, all things being equal, of a Shu'as Bitui. Right? Mipi Acherim, Mipi Atzmo, that's a different story. So, the Rajba is saying two things, basically. He's saying that there are, or there could have been, I'm not sure if it's there are, or there might have been, right, two different mechayvim in Shu'as HaEdos. Mipi Acherim reflects a mechayiv of Hefsed Mamon and Kvishas HaEdos. It falls short in Bitu. You could argue with the Rajba in one of two ways. Right, you could say he's wrong about Mipi Acherim. It is a Chiddush, but it's considered a sufficient Bitui in Hafla. Right? Or you could argue with the Rajba on the other side of it and say, okay, there's nothing unique about Mipi Acherim. Maybe the whole Korban Shu'as HaEdos is a reflection of Kvishas HaEdos and Hefsed Mamon. Right? It's an interesting. Now, Rav Meir and the Chachamim, in light of the Rajba, come out very, very well. Meaning, what do we say? That that according to the Chachamim, everything in Eidos depends on Bezdin. It's very reasonable. Shvuas HaEidos has to be b'makom kim chigit shivun chozer magid, where his Eidos will matter and where he cannot be chozer. That Shvuas HaPikadon has nothing to do with Bezdin is very understandable. It's a din in Gezel. Right? Why shouldn't you say like we pass it like the Chacham? Great. So a mayor, what's exerus hakasev? It's a gili mil. Domino mina, domino beduk biatra. It doesn't matter whether it's logical or not. I mean, if the bechayev here is the kvishas edus and the hefsed moment ayde edus, who cares if it's mi piatzma? Why doesn't it have to be in bezdin? And the same in shvus abikadon and biachirin. It sounds like, according to a mayor, the reason that we take this stance, right, duminov yukubiatra, right, is, or duminov, that part of the machlokas kachamim rameir itself, is gufa assessing, right, how shvus edus mi piacherim and the piatzma work, and the same thing, that's ironic, about shvus abikada. So in a way, the Rajba, you might have said, oh, the Rajba would be right. You know, or the Rajba's position is highlighted by Rav Meir, who says, you know what? Mi pi acherim, the Mechayiv is the Hefsed Mamo Naidei Kvisha Seidus, or Kvisha Seidus HaMafsed Mamo. Bishvua. Mi pi atzmo belongs to the world of Shvuas Bitui. But we don't paskin like Rav Meir, we paskin like the Chachamim. Right? Does that mean that the Rajba's in trouble? Does it mean the Rajba's in trouble? Josh? Is the Rajba in trouble? Not any trouble he can't get out of, that's for sure. Well, number one, we need to know the Maskana. Right? You know, what is Mipiacheru the Maskana? But more to the point, just because we end up requiring Bezdin doesn't mean that Mipiatzmo, right, isn't a different Mechayev. It just means it's still, it's has to be Shua Saidos. More to the point, and we'll speak more about this. Are there any echoes of Rameir and the Chachamim? Of difference between, we Pascha like the Chachamim. Are there any echoes of Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Even though we paskin like the Chachamim? Yeah? Excellent. Whose issue is that? The Rambam and the Rimigash. Right? What does the Rambam seem to say? We'll elaborate this when we pick up on it. Who disagrees with the Rambam? What's the Rambam's view? Rambam has the difficult view or the easy view? Twice, right? One in Perek Tes, Halach Yud Aleph, and then the end of Perek Yud. The Rambam also seems to say this in the beginning of Perek Tes. Then what? What's the Rambam Shita? Need to be embezzled. Oh. And the Ravid says, accuses in both cases, the Rambam, we'll read them tomorrow just very quickly before we move on to the other topic. What does the Rambam say about the Rambam? He says, what's the matter? What are you, Paschim like Rameir? We Paschim like the Chachamim. This is a great example. This is an echo of Rameir within the Chachamim. The Rajba is an echo of Rameir within the Chachamim. Because the Rambam, Rajba Paschim is like Chachamim. And the Rambam in a slightly different way is such a thing. And what's a third echo? Maybe, yeah.
The Mishnah, that's not later.
Well, maybe the. What do you mean? Yeah, I mean you're right, but that's how the Lecha Mishnah points out where the Rambam may have gotten it from.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. That's a good point.
At first, Tosos can't even accept that it could be the Rabbanan saying something like that. So he says that.
Excellent. So let's look at that Tosos tomorrow. Also, that's where the Lecha Mishnah says the Rambam got it from that. Yeah, Shua? Exactly. Right? Rabbeinu Tam has a very remarkable Shita that on the surface at least, we have to analyze it more fully. What's Rebbe Tam saying?
He says that for Mipiachmo, what do you mean Shemshamayim? That's what exactly.
Mipiacherim, Shua Seidus Mipiacherim requires Shem Hashem or Kinui, right? But Mipiachmo does not. Right? So we have Rebbe Tam, the Rambam, the Rajba, all in the background of Rav Meir and the Chachamim, notwithstanding our Pesach and the Chacham. So we need to analyze this better. Okay, we'll continue with this a little bit, and then mostly Rosh Hashanah.
What is important to you?